you find yourself actually being rising to the occasion and becoming a better person for that list.
Hey, podcast listener, you're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Hey everybody, it's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy, and it's time for episode 21 of the Email Marketing Podcast, where we talk about the top tips, tricks, and secrets for making more sales and growing your revenue with email marketing. Today, I'll be talking to Chuck Mullaney about how to use email like a sledgehammer to break down the wall of isolation between you and your subscriber. Now, Chuck has a very unique approach. He got started with email marketing without following the gurus, and that enabled him to develop a very unique approach to email marketing. So a lot of the time, there's a case of blind leading the blind, but Chuck got started without following a blind person. So he's developed a very interesting approach, which we'll get into in a moment, that includes about how often to send offers, how to sell very high ticket products, you know, sometimes up to $3,000, $5,000, and have people buy them without even reading the copy. They just buy it based on, well, Chuck sent the email, I might as well just buy it. What's great in this episode is that Chuck also goes into how to apply these email marketing strategies to a plumber's business. So, I mean, he's a guy from the internet marketing world and he sells internet marketing products, but I wanted to find out how he would do this in an offline business, because I know there are people listening to this that have offline businesses. So that's going to be really cool. You're going to find out how to get those email strategies in for a plumber, which can then be applied to any other offline business or even other businesses like e-commerce and things that aren't traditionally internet marketing stuff. Now, there is a bit of a sound quality issue in this episode. While I was recording, the headset I use for the microphone for this podcast, it kind of cut out and gave a really weird noise as I was recording. So I had to basically unplug it and start using my MacBook Air's microphone, which isn't that good, but it meant that I could continue the interview without interrupting Chuck's flow. But that does mean there is an echo in some parts. The sound quality gets a little bit sketchy, but I think it's okay, and I think you're still going to be able to get a lot of value from this podcast. To get the show notes for this episode of the Email Marketing Podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/EP21. Now, the Email Marketing Podcast has another 5-star review on iTunes. It's from Julie Rooney, and the headline is Required Listening. Julie says, if you are a marketer or run a staff or a team of marketers, add this podcast to your ongoing educational requirements. Thanks for the review, Julie. If you want to leave a review, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. There is a link there, and I will read it out on the show. Now, last week I mentioned that there was going to be a new segment called Listener Questions. So basically, someone goes to the website, dropdeadcopy.com, and on the right-hand side, there's a button where you can leave me a voicemail, ask me a question, anything you want, preferably related to email marketing, and I'll answer it on the show. This week's question is from Ben Kruger from Authority Engine, a boutique podcast editing agency. Ben says,
hey, John, Ben Kruger here from Authority Engine. Wanted to call in and talk to the autoresponder guy because, as it may happen, I'm actually writing an autoresponder out for our podcasting services right now. And I've got a quick question for you. I'm writing out this autoresponder, and we have multiple calls to action. I have editing services, we have a podcast launch service, and we also have a free guide to help people get set up. And we also do, you know, I also want to send people to some of the different podcast episodes that will help them out. So how do I prioritize and map out over a 30 or 60 day autoresponder sequence what calls to action I want people to take? And how do I do that strategically in a way that doesn't burn people out on, you know, constant sales or, you know, constant asking them to click here? So appreciate your answer and looking forward to it.
Thanks for the question, Ben. Just to summarize the question, it was, with multiple call to actions, how does one prioritize and map out over 30 to 60 days what call to actions you want people to take and how to not burn people out? The first thing you want to do, Ben, is you want to figure out what package you want to sell the most or what's the highest priority. And in this case, I think it's your launch package. It's the most expensive, it's generating the most revenue, and it leads naturally into the editing. The next step is to see if you can get over the phobia of selling. And all this really means, that sounds bad, but all it really means is understanding that you have something truly of value to someone and that therefore you have an ethical duty, in a sense, to offer it to them if they're going to benefit from it. And that also means that if someone doesn't need it, then and they get annoyed at you, big deal. They're not going to buy it anyway. Now, if you haven't pissed someone off by lunchtime, this is from Dan Kennedy. If you haven't annoyed someone and got an angry email or something by lunchtime, you're doing something wrong. So be happy and proud and excited to sell your products. And don't worry about the people, don't worry about the naysayers, the people who complain. The next thing is to figure out how often you want to send your emails. This could be daily. Now, I like daily. But if you don't want to do daily, I would go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or figure out a schedule and stick to it, just because it'll make it easy with writing, and you'll be able to be more consistent, and you'll get a lot more done. The last thing you want to do is figure out, do you want to pitch all the time, or do you want to throw some content in there? Now, I like pitching a lot, but pitching isn't pitching the way most people think about it. Pitching can be just telling a story, talking about an experience you had working with an expert in the past. Maybe it could be talking about the weekend that you had, maybe a party you went to, but somehow it's going to tie into, this is why you need to buy, this is why you need to do this launch package, because you can't do it yourself. And that's really the secret of it. You don't have to pitch to really pitch. You can kind of slide in with stories. So I hope that really helps, Ben. Now, if you have a question for me, you can go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. On the right-hand side of the page, there is a little link, and you can ask me a question, and I will answer it on the next show. Now, Ben has a boutique podcast editing agency. If you want to do a launch, a podcast, or if you want to do podcast editing, go talk to Ben. He really knows his stuff. He helped the Email Marketing Podcast hit the new and noteworthy in the iTunes store on the day we launched. Now, this has been a bit of a long intro, so let's go get into the interview with Chuck Mullaney. It's John McIntyre here, the autoresponder guy. I'm here with Chuck Mullaney, an underground legend in the internet marketing world and a guy who does things really, really differently when it comes to email. He's got 11 years of online success behind him, just under 8 years of mentoring experience, a true passion for teaching, and he's one of, if not the most successful and most experienced internet marketing mentors alive. So he's done more than 1,200 webinars since 2005. He sold almost $500,000 of products online in his first year. And he has more than 1,800 mentoring students at around about three to five grand each. So he's kicking ass. Now, he's also the guy behind SendReach, which is a competitor to AWeber, GetResponse, MailChimp. They got 14 patents pending, and they're doing something really cool. They make use of demographic data. So with AWeber, you can just send emails out. But what SendReach allows you to do is you can send emails out based on age, gender, location. So you can get some real targeted stuff going on. So it's really cool. How are you going today, Chuck?
I'm doing good. Thanks, John.
Good to hear, man. So before we get into the way you're doing email and some of this fairly unique stuff, tell people a bit about yourself.
Oh, geez. The short version, let's see. Once I fell in love with my wife and she had children from a previous marriage, I realized I didn't have a choice but to bring in ridiculous amounts of money from my home in my pajamas. And that's what started it all. So if you really want it or you really have to have it, then it's surprising what you can do. And that's what started it out. What I do with email lists is original. The reason it is because I've been doing it without influence from other marketers for many years before I did my first joint venture partnership and had an aha moment that other people have other ways to do this. So I have a very original way to monetize an email list. And I guess that's the short version. Plenty of different products and projects. I just don't want to take your time.
Okay. And you're in your pajamas right now drinking coffee.
There's no question. Absolutely.
All worked out then, man. All right, cool. So let's get into some of this then, the original way you've been doing it. So you've been in the business since 2003, and you didn't have your first JV until 2009. So you got 6-7 years there where you were doing things your own way. So give us a rundown. What was the Chuck Mullaney way of doing email?
Yeah, no worries. It was a cross between a couple of things that brought me to the way I was doing things. Looking back, it seems pretty obvious that it would have gone in this direction. I was already a professional executive salesperson. So my way of selling prior to being on the internet was focused mainly on consultative sales. And what that means is, the short version is that it means, it's not a direct, aggressive relationship, buy my stuff. It's more the other way around. Creating the environment where I'm a trusted tour guide. Okay. So that puts me in a position where when I give a suggestion, most follow it. So I transferred a lot of that over to what I was doing with email marketing, because I had sold a lot of products in the beginning on eBay, had this email list and didn't know exactly what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Just started taking over or transferring over those sales tactics into my email list. And, you know, it took years to tweak it and get it just right. But I didn't realize that the success I was having with my email list was so far over the majority of people that were doing that until years later. Hmm. I was just doing what I had to do, which was monetize the living heck out of a small email list. So my focus has always been on trust and credibility with the email list. Everything else is secondary. Pure focus on fundamentals to get there based on what those subscribers are used to seeing online, being different. And again, those two points, everything else is just conversation. So trust, credibility. If I could build that successfully, then I knew that a couple of things would happen. One is obviously what we're trying to do is to make a suggestion and have the subscribers follow it. But other pretty cool stuff actually happened after the fact, which I wasn't guessing, like, you know, the environment of information overload and too many different suggestions to the subscribers had created an environment where they were looking to latch on to anybody that they trust and thought was credible. So once they did latch on, I found that not only were they listening to my suggestions, but they actually had more money to spend because they stopped listening to others. Okay. So it's been an interesting ride, and basically it's one big psychological chess match to me. I enjoy the game.
Okay.
And so, yeah, very different.
I find it really interesting and very fascinating to think that, you know, when you take out the influence of all the other people out there, it's kind of like there's a lot of blind leading the blind going on online. It sounds like you really didn't have that. So you had the opportunity to develop something that was completely different and actually worked.
But absolutely.
People don't get that opportunity because they're too caught up, you know, following what the gurus say, because they think that if it's a guru, it must be true.
You know, I find that, and you know, from mentoring for a long time, I've got a vantage point to learn a lot about our market and what people think when they first come in and how they actually react and what they do or don't do and when they quit and that type of thing. So I can tell you this, I think it's a cross between two issues. One is definitely following many people that say, do this, it's the right way to do things, and have never really made any money themselves. So it's all theory. Or the other, and this is probably a good half of the problem, is, you know, thinking this is common sense. I mean, if you come into the business and you're intelligent, reasonably intelligent, and you go to Google and you say, you know, I want to make money with this computer, you know, just simply seeing what everybody else does and trying to do the same thing is detrimental. Because the majority of people are doing it incorrectly, or at least in a way that's only going to monetize it at the very base level, you know, less than 1 or 1.5% conversion. So, which is, you know, just crazy to me. The difference between a standard conversion at that rate and one with a relationship, I mean, there's no gray area. We're talking about the difference between, you know, 1% when you send something out as opposed to, you know, well over 25%. So, when you see that kind of, you know, what other people are doing using every marketing tactic known to man on an opt-in page and then hitting them with an offer and hitting them with an OTO and hitting, you know, all this normal stuff that you see out online, you're already setting the tone in the back of the subscriber's mind that, you know, I may not think he's going to steal my social security number, but I sure as hell know he's about to talk me into something I don't want. And that type of position puts you in a really rough spot when you're trying to suggest products to them or be an affiliate marketer. So breaking that wall down is number one. And that comes to, you know, doing some things that took me, you know, years to technically hone. And it's based on trust and credibility. All of the rest is just conversation. When I send out offers to the list, aside from test offers that are built into the autoresponder system, we're talking at the most 2 offers a month. Okay. In reality, probably 1. But make no mistake, they're going to buy it. And what happens is, and this is the real test of a relationship, when this happens to you, you know you're doing your job, okay? Chuck, I clicked the link. I went over, I bought it. It was $3,000. What the hell is it? That's when you know. So, you know, at really high conversions on good price point products and maybe even really high price point products more than outweigh the consistent low number sales of $20 WordPress plugins. Okay. Right. So it's just my model. And I find that, you know, it's much easier for me to get somebody that's brand new to all of this to buy into that idea and follow it, because there's some blind faith that's required, you know, to go through the curve of learning how to do this, as well as, you know, waiting around to see it start working, you know, because we don't hit people with offers every 10 minutes. Then even somebody who's been in the business for a long time, because I have a lot of friends in the business, and I'll have many recognizable people get in touch with me quietly and say, hey, you know, I've got, you know, 200,000 on my list. I've got 1.5 million on my list, and they just aren't freaking listening to me right now. What can I do to change that? I hear you're the relationship guy. Well, the problem is I've got to talk them into this crazy notion where they can't send an offer every day.
Yeah.
And they get used to X amount every day, even if I see it as low. Okay. So therefore, they've got to buy into this idea. And, you know, the first thing I'm telling them is you can't send them anything for a good 10 to 12 days. And they're like, oh my God, I can't do that, you know? So anyway, okay. I hope that helps you.
Okay. So can you apply this to any market, or is this working the best in like high ticket price markets where you're selling products for $3,000, $5,000, that type of thing?
No, I believe it'll work in any market. It just simply needs to be adjusted based on the environment. There's not only the price points like that need to be considered, but you've also got, again, focusing directly on the environment in that market prior to you getting there.
Okay.
So what the subscribers are used to dealing with, good or bad, you got to be different, first of all. And you know, one of the main things is to see the opt-in page as the beginning of a relationship. That there is an inherent lack of trust on the internet. We all distrust the stuff we see online, different levels, but you know, we all do. You've got to focus on that being the beginning of the relationship rather than using every marketing tool you know of to get more people to opt in.
Right.
You know, if I can get 50% opt-in conversion on an opt-in page as opposed to 70, but all 50 don't see me as a threat, I'll take that all day long. You know, and that comes from how the opt-in page is created. So, you know, those basic fundamentals like that, and of course, there's a million of them I've honed over years, make the difference.
Okay. So the real fundamental idea here is that people are going into this to build a relationship, not to just bombard their audience, the people who sign up to their thing with offers.
Correct.
So how do we do that? How do we create a relationship?
Okay. I'll give you the short version. It's an in-depth one.
Relationship coaching, man.
That's it. Real quick. Yeah, real quick. Here, do this. Okay. So we create a capture page that only uses some of the most important marketing tactics. It's not a sales page. It's a handshake. Okay. And in that, I would only use some of the real base marketing tactics that don't look obvious as marketing tactics. Okay, so bullet points. Bullet points are a prime example of that, because they do the job. They do the job very, very well. They don't look like heavy marketing tactics like, you know, a scarcity timer or a big red arrow down to the call to action, but they're just as effective, if not more. Mm-hmm. So things in that category can be used in the opt-in page, but they can't scream marketing. So headline, you know, headlines work. But red screams marketing. Mm-hmm. So use the headline, you know, use the idea of the headline. That's a tool, but I wouldn't use red. Another thing is this: when you're, and again, let me back up on, with sales pages and such, I'm a student of marketing. I would use all of them on a sales page. Okay. Opt-in page is just not the same thing. So when it comes to the headline, when you're on a sales page, I mean, it's about being read and getting them, enticing them to read the next line. That's the headline. Okay. But the headline in this model, I use in a very different way. I use it as to show that the extension of trust that they gave us by clicking the link in the email that told them about that opt-in page, or clicking the link in the ad that told them about the opt-in page, was a good idea. Okay. So if you send an email out to your list and you say, hey, man, you know, Chuck's got this great free thing and you're only knowing about it because we're buddies, click here. Okay. Yeah. When you get to that opt-in page, it would be specifically set up for that email. Okay. And what I mean by that is I would change the headline based on that email. So the headline is only about confirming in that very short time frame that you have when they get to the opt-in page that trust they gave by clicking that link. And there's some degree of trust there, and it's different for all of us. Mm-hmm. Okay. But immediately confirming that trust was the right move.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Instead of, enticing them into something, it would be more like, this is exclusive for friends of John. Okay. Yeah. Something like that. So that it's congruent. Okay. And then after that, again, lack of tools on purpose. Down at the area for call to action, I don't use any marketing tools. It's sitting there by itself. However, everything is above the fold. So use bullet points. I'll use a headline in that direction. I'll use a warning headline, pre-headline. The warning is never marketing out. I mean, the whole deal is after you create it, you want to look at it and say, do I see marketing words in here? Am I accidentally throwing them in there because I'm excited, which happens all the time? How to make money online for free in 20 minutes. Okay. I don't care how you package that opt-in page. It ain't going to work. Yes, it'll get people in. No, you won't have a relationship. It would be really hard to resurrect a relationship with great autoresponders after the fact if you do that, So the point being that that's the beginning of it. That's probably the most important. Next, the environment dictates that I do stuff very differently. Okay. So if they go through the opt-in page, you normally get to, a thank you page that says, go check your email and click confirm. Mm-hmm. Or, here there's a one-time offer, watch this video, kind of common stuff. Or it sends you to a page where you've got to pick a username and password to get to the download. All of those things are, useful in our world. Problem is they've set it up, since most do that, for me to overachieve by just simply handing them the report. I mean, I just, they click download now, boom, there's a report. So it just starts to psychologically set the tone that we're different, as well as, not overwhelm them with offers. Okay. Autoresponders.
They get
a welcome email immediately. Basically, it's a customer service email, not wordy at all. The majority of people in the U.S., which I believe most would see as their target market, read at an eighth or ninth grade reading level. Okay. I don't mean they're stupid. I mean, they don't read well. And the reason they don't is the same reason I don't read well. And that's because it takes practice. Okay. So you either read a lot and start to read well, or you don't read a lot and you don't read well. It doesn't have anything to do with how smart you are. Okay. So that being the case, and we know this from a literary survey that was taken in the U.S. in 93, okay, that proved eighth and ninth grade reading level was the average. Okay. Then that means that we need to write everything based on that information. So when we send out emails, they're not super wordy. They're not full of hype. They're direct. And I would say the most important is probably sentence space, sentence space, sentence space, no paragraphs. Mm. You see, because if it looks overwhelming, it's not going to get read. And really, it doesn't matter what's in there if it doesn't get read. So the rest is, technical things I learned over the years. So when I send out tip emails, purposefully don't put links in them so that there's no misunderstanding. So even if I wanted you to go to Google, I would not put google.com because a lot of email clients would automatically turn those into links for you. And somebody's going to misunderstand and think, they've been in the business for 10 minutes and heard that people get paid to send you places. Okay. So I can't take that chance. So I wouldn't put anything in there link-wise, just simply the meat. And that's an opinion. Okay. And I believe that I shouldn't dictate that opinion to anyone. Okay. However, what I found in my model is that I don't have a problem with that because the whole model is building a relationship. I don't have people go, I did not opt in. Actually, if I do, I do. And it's a very, very tiny number, like 10 people a year say that, but the rest is about building the relationship. And therefore I get a lot of perks, such as I don't get too many complainers. I also don't get too many refunds, that type of thing. So okay. I could do this all day. Can you think of anything specifically that you want?
Well, okay. So do you have like a system or a framework that you follow when you create these autoresponders? So, because you're going
I do.
For every 12 days. In the meantime, in the interim, how do you come up with the content? What's your deal?
They're tip emails. And they're based on building credibility. If you don't send them anything to buy for 12 days since they've met you, I think that inherently starts to build trust because it's so different from the environment. Okay. But on the credibility side, you have to build some cred. And you know, I think there's a common misconception that, especially people that are brand new, that if you write like a free report or an autoresponder to your list, you know, that everybody's judging whether you're smart or know your stuff by every word you say. And in reality, that's really not what they're focused on. They're focused on themselves. And that means that, you know, I see those as, especially the beginning autoresponders, as ways to differentiate myself from everyone else. So, you know, if I'm going to write an autoresponder, I'm not me, I'm somebody else. I might have this internal problem where I'm thinking, okay, I've got to write some seriously good stuff because I want a relationship with them. I want them to think, wow, they're getting all this cool stuff. So we send this tip email out, 2,000 words and paragraphs everywhere. And in reality, I happen to know that the majority of people will never get past that first paragraph. Okay, so it's impossible to build credibility if people don't read your stuff. And that's what I focus on when I write them. When I write them, there's definitely a percentage of people that walk into my list and go, you know, he told me a little, but that is not some advanced information. I'm out of here. This guy doesn't know his stuff. Yeah. Okay. And in reality, I don't care about them. I only care about the majority of my list, which is getting talked over and talked at every single day. So I want to be a breath of fresh air and just simply connect with them quickly.
So these tips, I send them soft information to get the hard information about the product. What sort of tips are you sending?
Actually, I've got a real specific way of doing it. It depends on the niche. Let's say it's a business opportunity or how to make money online. I would send them ones on different aspects of that business, but it would not be focused on giving them a whole lot of information. Okay, again, it's focused on the relationship, especially in the beginning. I start to have a dynamic change as we get a little further into the relationship. But in the beginning, it's not about content. It's about selling them the ideas of things and, you know, giving them a few bullet points and then telling them to have a nice day. The most important is to get them to the bottom of the email. So you can psychologically start setting the hook that, I don't know why, but for some reason, I read all Chuck's emails. Okay. And that's probably stronger than the actual content. Now, as far as the content, I would just pick ones that they may have heard of and may not have heard of, looking for ones that hopefully they have heard of but don't know much about. People that are new to the business, that's not that hard to do. Mm-hmm. In those, I'm very particular about not mentioning previous ones, not pre-selling the next one. Again, this is like the opposite of sales school. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what comes from that is this. I don't have that small percentage of people that read my tip email and say, you know, in addition to what I had sent you last time, well, you know, the problem is they may not have read your previous one. Okay. And if they haven't, you just said, hey, Goober, you didn't read my previous email, so you don't have any idea what I'm about to say. And that can't be conveyed. You know, you can't take that chance. So each tip stands on its own. And, again, it's more focused on getting them to the bottom of it and getting them happy with me than it is getting them content yet. We haven't set the environment yet where they have decided that they will listen to whatever I say. And that's the beginning part is setting that environment. Later on, sure, I can give them books of information because they will read it. Yeah. But prior to that, nah.
So, okay. So at first, it's more about creating this relationship, this connection with them. And down the track is when you get a bit heavier on the actual content and the tips that you're sending.
Absolutely. And I send out test emails in the autoresponder series. They're preset. They're specifically written and geared around testing whether the autoresponders are building a relationship. They're not about money. So I'll use, instead of saying a word about whatever product it is I'm sending it over there, I'm switching up with some technical things, such as using a cliffhanger subject line where I hadn't in the tips. At the closing of the email, it'll be much more personal and loose than all the others on purpose. Okay, prior, it might be, you know, respectfully, Chuck Mullaney, Pajama Executive, JV Mees, Sendreach, whatever, big business looking, okay? When we get to that test email, it's an emotional email. It's, I'm excited about seeing this thing, thought you might want to see it. Very, very limited words. And the ending will be something like, you know, respectfully, Chuck. Okay. And these are all psychological tools to set a pause. And if I get that pause out of them, then I'm good. When I'm using only excitement and such and not many words, a couple of things happen. First is I'm finding out whether they even care that I'm excited. Okay, so that's the relationship checking part. The other is that you really want to keep it limited in the words because, you know, a big fancy ad copy and email, and don't get me wrong, I can write them, but I have plenty of friends that are better, okay, at writing a complicated email. They're neat and they're their own skill. The problem with that is there's an extra benefit of being able to control or being able to guess that the majority of people that saw this email read every word. Okay, that means that you're in control of the entire message to them, which is something I can confirm in my promotional emails like that where others can't. Okay, and that tool is big to me. So I only put a sentence or two in there and tell them, wow, man, I just found this. It's really cool. I had to shoot this over right over to you. You know, what do you think? Chuck. Okay. And if those clicks are what I'm used to, which is well over 10% in many cases, depending upon the test, sometimes I find that my autoresponders, and this is very much on the high end, you know, might actually pull in 30% clicks. Okay. And if that happens, I know it's doing its job and I move on. But they're not about money. The money is in broadcasting based on products that come out later. And the interesting thing is that you build this relationship with the list and you find yourself actually being arising to the occasion and becoming a better person for that list. Okay. So once you see that they are actually following you, it brings the best out of you. So when you go to look for products before you promote them, there's no way, you know, 6 months into having that kind of a relationship that you would ever consider sending a product out that you don't know every piece of and know that it's good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But then on the other hand, again, there's no gray area. You know that you send that out to them and you can speak intelligently about it. They're going to follow you and they're going to buy the heck out of it. So pretty awesome stuff. Just very different, you know?
Okay. So we're just about to come up to time. I thought it'd be good to just sum it up real quick. So the fundamental idea here is that they're creating a relationship. So that goes from the squeeze page to the emails, which never really end. And you're sending an offer every 12 days, which is an autoresponder offer. And it's not to make money. It's just to test the relationships. You get your metrics there that if the clicks are over 10%, you're happy there. And then what you're doing in the meantime is you're sending tip-based emails. And at the start of the autoresponder, for maybe the first 30 days, you're keeping it rather simple, pretty short. I mean, they're kind of like the sort of email you'd send to a friend. What I thought was funny that you just mentioned is that you might send an email saying, hey, man, you know, hey, Joe, I just found something that's really cool. Here's the link. See ya. And that's exactly the sort of thing that we use email for with our friends and our family. We don't write, you know, a 300-word email that's, you know, all like marketing speak and sounds all good and all that sort of stuff, generally. So using it just the way you use it with friends. So one thing before we go, one thing I thought would be really interesting is how would you apply this to say, like, imagine you had a local business, say it's a plumber who's, you know, getting leads to his website with AdWords or something. How could someone with just like a normal, non-make money online business do this?
Meaning how would they build a relationship with local clients like that?
I guess, well, could you give maybe a specific, you know, very quickly, some specific examples of like, you know, what sort of tip emails would they send and kind of how they would do that kind of thing?
A plumber?
Yeah, let's go with plumber.
Okay. You know, it's hard because I would need to know every detail of it. I would build it around every little thing. I mean, that, you know, what it's like in their local location, you know, what it's been like locally, weather or news wise, things like that. I wouldn't go in depth with them, but I would definitely reference those things. Those things can make you tight locally with your local clients. So whip it out, you know, how would I do it for a plumber is very hard to do, but in general, that's the point. I would focus on the things that plumbers would not send their list, you know, and anything that is truly going to help them connect. Okay. There's even a good argument for sending them tips about many other things away from plumbing. Okay. Because there's a couple of things that you can do. Let's say you know that you're supposed to build a relationship with the list, but you don't really learn how to do it correctly. You just start doing things based again on that horrible thing of expecting it to be common sense. Okay. So a common problem with that in our world would be to send out free downloads, you know, on a schedule. Okay. So let's say it's, you know, free stuff Friday is my email list. Okay. In reality, all I'm doing is programming them not to buy.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not building the relationship. I'm programming them to never unsubscribe and to not pay attention to emails Monday through Thursday. Okay. So it's a common problem. So that's not how you do it. Now, the same thing would happen with local stuff. You can also sort of funnel or pigeonhole yourself into a position where they only see you credible on one subject. And that's really kind of taking yourself out of the legs. Okay. So during the relationship building phase, and this goes for, you know, I am niche, BizOp, or anything local. Okay. Anything. I think it would be important to really spread out the funnel of credibility. So let's say, you know, it's plumbing. And let's say that I'm building the relationship with them by email. I'm talking a little bit, obviously, about plumbing stuff. Okay. But away from that, I would not funnel, you know, pigeonhole myself only to plumbing stuff. Because if I send them anything, I mean, you know, remember, email lists for local clients, and I see this screwed up a lot in my world, especially now that SendReach is such a heavy tool for local consultants. I get this front row seat to see a lot of what they do with local businesses. They really are underestimating, undervaluing, and not really understanding what they have when they have a good email list. You know, if you're a plumber and you have a great relationship with your email list, they're coming to you for plumbing needs. Got it. Okay. Guess what? You actually could widen that funnel or widen that scope of credibility by flirting with other subjects since you have a relationship with them, okay, and create an advertising asset even above plumbing, okay? And that all comes down to what you talk to them about. So if I only say, you know, this is how you build an email list, and this is how you get traffic to an email list, and the next tip is this is what you do with your email list. You know, if I get an idea about something for SEO or for Facebook marketing and I send it to them, they'll trust me. They might even go look at it, but that's not the same effect as if they really feel like I know what the hell I'm talking about in that subject. So it's important to keep that scope as wide as possible. So I would think about that while writing the emails, but you know, it all comes down to trust, credibility, and having a clear understanding of the good and bad stuff they're used to in that environment already before you get to them.
Fantastic. Man, that's cool. Give yourself a plug. So like, where's the best place for people to learn more about you or plug, you know, SendReach or something like that?
Well, you know, SendReach is, you know, easy. SendReach.com. Go check it out. We're adding new features all the time. And it's over the top. Too much to talk about. As far as me and mentoring, I've never had an ad up for it. It's all very word of mouth and webinars maybe sometimes, but you know, if you have any questions for me, my email address is chuck@sendreach.com. And as far as anything you want to know about me, again, I think the most trust and credibility building way to do this is this. Don't go to my website, just go to Google and type in my name. Okay. Chuck Mullaney, Mullaney.
Cool, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. Appreciate your time. See you, John.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening. If you want to discover more insider tips, tricks, and secrets about driving sales with email marketing, sign up for daily email tips from the Autoresponder Guy. Go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast, sign up, confirm your email address, and I'll send you daily emails on how to improve your email marketing and make more sales via email. You'll find out why open rates don't matter, and the 7-letter word that underlies all effective marketing, and much more.